something good.
Tell me that you like it, yeah.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is The Lois Effect. My name is Alisa.
My name is Liz. I don't know why I said it like that.
Morning.
Morning, team. Happy post-holiday Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, solstice, equinox, whatever the hell it is, and pre-New Year's. And it's great because our next show is Thursday, and Thursday's New Year's Eve. So we have one more show for the year.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. So that's exciting. And I was glad to hear that you and my fellow cohorts, it sounded like you guys had a great mastermind. I was kidnapped by my favorite gay married couple. Thank God. Larry and Dave, my kids' fairy godparents and two of my dearest friends. And, of course, they have a lovely Victorian home in Jersey. And I felt like, once I opened the door, I felt like, oh, did we just teleport to Macy's Santa Land? Because, oh, my God. Yeah, and I really didn't do much in terms of decorating or anything at my place. My kids don't really care one way or the other. It's fine. So it was just wonderful to spend an overnight with two people who I don't really get to see, whom I adore, and just celebrate life. But I saw through messaging that you guys had gotten together, and I was certainly there in spirit. But yeah, great way to end the year, doing things, meditation, getting in with like-minded people, even if it's just one other person, mm-hmm. It's such a great mutual investment in each other. I certainly feel that investing in the dreams of others, especially if that feels good to you, should not be at the dismissal of your own dreams,
right?
But that you're in, right, but that you're so aligned that it just coalesces together, and that you're really not only investing in the dreams of others, but that energy goes back to you. It's just really good to connect. Even if it's just with one other like-minded person. I don't know why I'm feeling that very strongly, but I'm feeling like I need to say that to everybody. Like, even if it's just one like-minded person. And it doesn't mean, when I say like-minded, it doesn't mean you have to be totally on the same page spiritually. It could be one like-minded person that you just like to laugh at this person. You know how there's some people, they may not know that you have a spiritual bone in your body, and you're not going to talk about it, you're not going to debate it, it's not about that, it's no one's business. But you can just get together with that one person and just laugh about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's that, this is a good time to connect, even if it's virtual. Of course, you know, for most of us, it's going to be virtual. That's how we connect these days. So I'm glad that you guys got to hang out virtually, and that it looks like there's something lined up for tomorrow in anticipation of the end of the year. So I will mm-hmm. certainly be participating on that call with y'all.
It'll be good.
I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled that I have the opportunity, because I couldn't show up the other night, so on Sunday. So I'm absolutely thrilled for the opportunity. And then you had posted the most adorable, can't handle, because you're cute too. So it's like between the two of them, it's like, you know, cute one and cute two. Alisa and her adorable niece, so cute. Just, and the way she was babbling and the opening the gifts and just adorable. Adorable. The cuteness, I could see how you will be co-conspirators for the rest of your life. I could see it. I could see it. You're going to be coming up with all kinds of schemes as this little mastermind. I was going to call. I've never referred to a baby as a chick. I said that chick. Okay, let me rephrase that. But I can see. Good, you know. You're in the best position out of every family member. I'll tell you that right now, Alisa. Her parents, you might as well send them a condolence card. She's going to be running things. Oh, my God.
She already is running
that,
things.
Thank you. Of course. I knew you were going to say that. She is going to be running. Oh, yeah. They don't know. They better start, you know, drinking their Ovaltine and eating their Wheaties because the parents, oof. Praise Jesus. Anyway, absolutely adorable. I laughed out loud. Cutest damn thing ever. The two of you. Yeah. So, and yes. You know, I just love to see, like, you in just aligned, you know? I mean, talk about the closest thing to source, and that you are very fortunate to have access to a baby. You know, this is Corona, so we have to be so careful who we come in close contact with. So, for you to have access to that power source, mm-hmm. I mean, she doesn't have anything over a crystal, even like a quarry. She has nothing. That's like a living crystal right there, right there, right there. Hold on for dear life. So adorable. Oh, my God. Anyway, just had to express that because it just put a smile on my face. So cute. So
yeah. And I don't get to see her every day like I used to. So when I can't see her, it's super nice.
Yeah, it's a gift. And were those so did you go over there on Christmas Day?
No, that was I saw them the next day, the next evening.
Oh, the day after Christmas. Nice.
Yeah, I had to honestly, like, and this is what we talked about. We had a good conversation on our mastermind about just, you know, energetically how I was feeling. And I could feel it because I'm a little congested. And so the last between the stomach stuff and then this congestion, like, you know, my body's been taking a hit. Like I've had to really take it easy and rest. And then when I am able to go out and do things, I'll do them. But, you know, it takes a toll. And I'm glad I'm not having to be so social, like, with large groups every day. Like,
no,
that's normal for the holidays.
Yeah.
But because it's such a different year, it has been very helpful to not have to be on for so many days in a row.
Yeah.
But even the days when I have, you know, I've rested. I mean, the last few days, like, I would sleep in until I couldn't go to sleep. Like, I'd be awake until 3.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would then need to sleep in, and I wouldn't leave my room until like 3, you know. So,
well, that's okay. This is all of this. I'm not surprised at any of this. This is such a process of the conversion process that's going on. It will affect our bodies.
Right.
That's it. So none of this surprises me, you know, and it's scary because you're like, do I have corona symptoms? Is this, you know, a density converting to more of a light body?
Right.
There's a lot that, you know, will weigh on us, and self-talk, and I know you're good at that. Self-talk is so important, you know, in the way that you are so gentle with your niece as you allow her to do what she needs to do to get to where she is wanting to get to.
Mm-hmm.
It's very parallel to your process, to your experience. I know for me, my vulnerable spot is digestion.
Mm.
Yeah, and so I can certainly relate to that. The one thing that really took care of it was drinking kefir every day, like medicine.
Uh-huh.
Really, really helped me. And then I'm taking a probiotic, which I keep in the refrigerator. And my digestive issues have improved almost 100%.
Mm.
So that really helps. Of course, the celery juice helps. Do I do it every day? No, I do not. Am I going to beat myself over it? Of course not. Do I have five stalks, you know, five bunches of celery in my refrigerator calling my name? I sure do. Will I have it tomorrow? Yes. You know, and the thing is also with the celery juice, it's like the thing that you have to have, like, first thing. It's not like, well, I'm going to make my celery juice after I have my coffee, or
right.
I'm going to, you know, so it's that, you know, you have to prep, it's all of that stuff, and it's certainly not a burden, but I don't pressure myself for anything anymore. It's there waiting for me, and it will be good for me when I have it, but without hesitation, because it's easy. I'm just pouring it out of a container, you know, it's a kefir.
Mm.
If I don't have it, it does make a difference.
Well, I've taken a break from the celery, in part because my body, like, I just want something warm in the morning. I don't want the cold.
I know. I was going to beep. Yeah, it's damn cold out. Yeah, it's cold. I want something warm too.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, let me get out the juicer, let me chop up the celery, let me wash it, and then let me put it in the refrigerator while it gets cold, let me wash all the parts of the juicer, da 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 da, which is fine, not complaining, but there's a certain mindset, you know, like working out. Do I work out every day? No. Do I beat myself about that? Absolutely not. Do I work out several times a week? Sure, on average. Is that good enough? Damn right.
Mm.
That's it. That's it. This takes all of this, you know, coping with corona and then experiencing the convergence of dense to light. That's what's happening. So you saying all of this doesn't surprise me one bit. And to conserve your energy so that you are functioning, you know, optimally for what you need to function for, and to be very selective about those things, doesn't mean you're being lazy and sluggish. It means you're converting darkness to light, density to the etheric. That's what this is. It's crazy. So the sleep is going to be all erratic sometimes. There's just a lot happening all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And there's corona, and there's a new president coming in, and it's the end of the year, and, you know, RVs are blowing up in Nashville, and, you know, it's just, it's a lot. So none of that surprises me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when I visited Isabel, it really was, I mean, that day after Christmas was a day to bring all the gifts that
right.
I was supposed to do on Christmas Day. That was the intention, but it was crazy cold.
Yes,
on Christmas
it was
day.
Very cold, yeah.
And I think by the time, like, I did stay, I had a Zoom call with my friends on Christmas Eve, which was great.
Oh, that's great.
And because, and I told them, I said, you know, that's when my family usually celebrates Christmas Eve. So it's
right.
been nice to have my other family, you know, for Christmas Eve. And we stayed out. I was up till 11 on the Zoom call with people. And then I was awake until 3 o'clock. And then I fell asleep. And I knew on Christmas Day that, you know, obviously it's not like, oh, we got to open up presents. You know, there's, I had a gift that some of my friends had dropped off the night before or a couple of days before, and I just kept that. You know, Aunt Thelma has not left the house to do much of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like she needs to give me a gift anyway. But,
right.
like, I had little gifts for – I had a gift for her. I had little gifts for people. So for my friends, we all – the ones that we all got together on Christmas Eve, we usually do have a little something for each other. So I was hoping to do that. And I woke up, like I said, late afternoon. I'm not going anywhere. It's crazy. It's crazy cold out. So I geared myself up for the next day to do that. And I knew, my brother wanted me to come over for dinner, early dinner. To me, early dinner is like, he wanted me to come over to the house at 5. I'm like, okay. So I was trying to plan my day to make all my little rounds, like to visit people, drop off the gift. Of course, you know, it was a beautiful day. Thank God. It was still cold, but not as cold, but sunny outside. And so, you know, I stayed outside, you know, with my friends. You know, we did some chatting. The first two people I visited, they have kids. So, you know, they were already outside anyway because, you know, they have each had a boy, and the boys are just need to have a lot of energy. They just wanted to get the crazies out. So that, but it was fun. I think I spent like probably a good half hour with each one. It just took a while. I only had four people to visit before I visited my brother. I was like, oh,
yeah, that's
still home.
That adds up. That's, you know, that's enough.
But you know, but it was good to take that time. I didn't want to feel rushed.
Right.
It was good to take the time with my friends, even though I had talked with them last night. It's just different being there in person.
Of course.
And enjoying the day, being out in the sunshine, seeing these kids who are just happy, 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 you know, just that kind of thing. I really appreciated that time. And I ended up being about half an hour later than I was planning to at my brother's, but.
And it's okay?
Yeah. It's not like they were, you know, he had already made the food, like probably, I think the night before. It was like a Japanese style curry that he said he knew it would taste better the next day.
Right.
So it was just a matter of warming it up on the stove. No big deal. But
that's
I
it.
Had
no
my Santa Claus hat on.
Yes, you did.
And I had it on the whole day, so of course I had hat hair, you know, like my head, you know, I had to keep it on. But Isabel did not recognize me.
Oh, how funny. She's like, who this?
She was just sort of looking at me like, you look familiar, but I don't
what
know
is this apparatus on your head? I do not know
head.
What this is. Please explain to me, human. Right.
I mean, did she allow me to hold her? But she just was just looking at me. I'm going to be reserved because I don't know you. Like, no, you do know me.
Oh, how cute is that?
So, yeah. So we got to play. I still kept the hat on the entire time. The thing is, she usually loves to, like, play with your hat or your glasses. She has to
right.
take the glasses off. She has to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a hat style that she's not used to. You know, my brother will wear a baseball cap. My sister-in-law will wear like a sun visor. So there's usually a bill that she can
right.
hold on to. And this Santa hat just totally threw her. Like,
yeah. She's like, wait a minute. You're messing with me.
kept looking at me. But yeah, I got her some maracas, some electronic, you know, for kids maracas that are.
Oh my God, maracas! They've
got like the Spanish.
I love it.
It's bilingual, so you can count. It has little buttons you can push, so she can learn how to count. She can learn the different names of the instruments. She can play some music. So
I love it.
She was happy with it. I think my brother and sister-in-law were like, wow, that sounds pretty good. The music, I like the music. I said, she's about the music. This girl loves the music. So anything that gets her moving and dancing and enhances her mood, I'm all about it.
Yes.
Yeah. So I just really enjoy it. I get to see her tomorrow. We'll see how she is tomorrow. I get to see her tomorrow to watch her for the day. And yeah, it was a good time to spend with them and with her in particular, obviously. So.
And of course, I love it. that's what it's about. So that's amazing. Yeah, I made a modified paella.
Oh, yeah.
Only two types of seafood, scallops and shrimp. Wasn't mad at that. And made it and then packed it up. Of course, you know, left plenty for the kids. And went to visit my mom. And what I had thrown in the bag was a little split of Prosecco. And my mother's memory... I don't really notice a huge difference. My siblings do, but I don't treat my mother like an old lady. I treat her like a wise, fierce, amazing person who sometimes forgets. And I'm like, I'm not mad at that because that actually works in my favor, so it's all good. So I'm just finding all the positive aspects of that, right? And we have a great visit, and I said, well, I have a little surprise, and I pull out the split. And she said, oh, just like Paris. And right before I adopted, we adopted my youngest, which was 15 and a half years ago, I took my mother to Paris because I knew I wasn't going to have that opportunity because I knew that we had a newborn was going to show up in our life any second then. And we went for a week, and it was amazing. And every night we had this ritual that we would each drink a split of champagne in bed while watching French television. That was our thing. And it was so great because she lit up and she said, just like Paris.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so we toasted each other. It was just so fabulous. And I love that she remembered that.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Yeah, that was so delightful. And it just warmed my heart. And again, just like Thanksgiving, where, you know, I'm always hosting, there's, you know, I'm cooking for like 10 people, whatever. And just like Thanksgiving, I just enjoyed the process of preparing a meal with love. And that being my only focus, not, oh, my God, I still have all this cleaning to do.
Right.
I have all this prep to do, you know, nagging my kids to take out the or just all those things that go with that. It was just the best part of the holiday. I could take my time. Like you said, so you were a half hour post schedule, but of course it doesn't matter. Of course it's fine. And it's more important for us to take our time.
Right.
As long as we're not adversely affecting someone else, you know, you have to catch a plane. You have to, when you used to be able to go to the theater to, you know, make sure you make it, you have to make a curtain time, whatever.
Right.
Well, those things aren't really happening. So we can take our time. You know, yes, we're going to be on time for a doctor appointment, but we can take our time just navigating one moment of life to the next.
Mm.
And I don't know if this is going to be her last Christmas. I hope it's not, of course, but I don't know. And it was beautiful. That's,
I love
you know,
it.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. And, yeah. And then, of course, you know, I just, oh, my God, with all the shenanigans that goes on, like, on the underbelly of the world, it's like, oh, my God, let's just, I really look forward to, like, a week after, like, the end of the first week of the new year, because it's, like, all the craziness, all the parties, all the, I think it was like over 8 million people were flying, if not more, during this time. Or 18 million. I mean, it was a ridiculously high number. Airports were crowded. Yeah, I know people jumping on. I know people who just flew in from out of town, and that came back from Christmas. And I know people who are jumping on planes today, as a matter of fact, to go out of town for New Year's. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, get tested when you get back. Hello. Yeah. Yeah. So, and I even heard that there was a rally. And again, you know, people think, oh, you're in New York, everything's so progressive. No, it's not. There are idiots everywhere. There's differences of opinion everywhere. There, you know, everything is a melting pot. So there's not, it may seem like that on the surface, but there was a rally in Union Square Park in New York. Actually, that's where you found that that talisman. You're right, that part there. And there was a rally called My Body. No, it was an anti-mask, anti-vaccine rally.
Wow.
My Body. No, and I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I would hope, I believe that's the minority opinion, I would hope, but to be in the cold, protesting, I don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, I get, like, Black Lives Matter. I get, like, certain things. Like, you're enraged.
Mm.
I don't get, I don't know. It almost seems like an anti-abortion rally. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're getting to my, but it's the irony, because it's like, that's, okay, that's pro-choice, right? Anyway, choose to do it with your body, but that was a little concerning. Yeah, there's contrast everywhere.
Always.
Always. But what I'm learning, because I've been listening to a lot of, I meditate every day, 15 minutes a day, to Abraham Hicks through their podcast. And what I learned in today's meditation is the greater the contrast, it's like the greater the desire for the, for the desired outcome. So if the contrast, because basically contrast is success turned inside out. So if the contrast is major, it means its opposite is even greater.
Right.
And it's fueling you. But my feeling also is that there'll be a really wonderful shift probably in about 6 months, where we're going to really see that we've turned the corner. So I look at that as take the next 6 months as an opportunity to tie up all your loose ends, get things in order, continue to take your time, because we're not going to get time like this ever again. And to appreciate what's left of it, and to be the best versions of ourselves coming out of it. Like, even with the onset of New Year's Eve, I want to have my house. I mean, look, I have my two sons, so, like, you know, I have to have some exceptions because they're heathens. But I want to have at least my bedroom and the common areas of the apartment spotless, saged, sprayed with holy water, clearing the old. And have you noticed just feeling like a surge of old energy or reminders of the past, almost like you're re-experiencing certain things or certain memories, or maybe there might be a little trigger here and there, only just to have them sort of remind you of how far you've come?
I have to think about that one. I don't think so, because I've been asleep. But
well, maybe that's what's going on. Maybe that's why you're going to sleep.
Maybe.
You know? And the thing is, too, if you think about it, that used to be a big thing for you in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So that's actually, I think that's it. That was a lot of things, or a lot of downtime would take place with you. It was the only way maybe for things to get done unconsciously, because you're so active mentally.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. That's the past. Because that's something, right? That's something that was way more common in the past than it has been recently, if I'm not mistaken, knowing you as I know you.
Yeah. Right. And also around this time of year, because I was usually traveling a lot, I was always like crazy sick. You know, just being
right.
on a plane will do it. But that tends to be the time of year when we would travel, and it would be
right.
like these, you know, international trips that, you know, you're in the plane for 24 hours or whatever. So,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, so there's like that residual.
Well, there you go.
Feeling.
Right. So your body is used to not being unwell during this time. So this is just a little like snapshot reminder of the past. It's not going to be anything like it was. You're not going to get sick. You're you know, on top of it. You're ahead of it, right? I think the sleep part is tied to patterns from the past.
Yeah.
But that you know that you are not, they're not ruling or dictating you. You're just experiencing them to move through them and move past them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's very interesting. So I think that's happening for us in ways that line up with patterns that are long-term patterns that are now beginning to dismantle themselves. So it's actually good. So it's by being reminded of those patterns that we can say, oh, okay, I don't really need them anymore. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You can let them go. So I think that's what's going on with a lot of us. So you can look at a situation, an encounter with someone from the past, or a contrasted situation that you thought you were down with, done with, and you can look at it as, oh, this is part of me letting go and moving past it, so that you don't feel as blindsided, or there's an understanding, there's a higher understanding of why you're re-experienced, or you're being reminded of things that really don't need to be in your life anymore.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, one of the things we talked about on our mastermind was the need to declutter and to want to do that in the next, you know, few days before the new year.
Absolutely.
So today is a day where I feel like I'm not running a ton of errands. I do have an errand to run and later in the afternoon, but today is a day to kind of get a big chunk of that.
Yep, me too.
Done.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, and I mentioned it to you, I know, on the air about, you know, having these Zoom calls with the art of living people that I've done.
Right.
And wanting to declutter my space so that whether I'm on a Zoom call or not, but it's like when I do my meditation or when I do, yoga or breathing or whatever, that the space is clear.
It's
in a nice space, and just to be in this space because I know I need it, and I look at everything every day. I'm like, oh my goodness, just and that's just in my room, which is where I spend most of my time.
Right, of course.
So I'm like, yeah, I need to even out of taking stuff down on the walls, you know, just take it down and the vision I got was of me, like when I first get to a new space where it's just a blank canvas, there's nothing there,
mm-hmm.
and there's all this potential.
Right.
And the pattern for me, as I'm sure it's for most people, is to try to fill that space, you know, with everything that we have.
Right.
And then some, to make it more our home. And I'm thinking, well, there's an appreciation for keeping things very simple.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that some of these little keepsakes, and there are things that I do love, like it's like little things that I think they have meaning for me. But they don't need to be on display all the time, you know,
or
they just, you know, if there's not the right room for it, then, you know, put it in a place to keep it. Maybe you'll revisit it later.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a lot that I need to have. And then the stuff I do have, knowing that it doesn't need to be on display, I can have a place for it that's easily accessible. It's just me retraining myself, because I know, and I feel like this is genetic, kind of joking, but kind of not.
No, I get it. Mm-hmm.
It's genetic that, you know, you just keep everything out where you can see it, you know, that way you'll use
it.
But that means, because you think of all the things you use every day, that's a lot of stuff.
That's a lot of stuff.
And so like every surface is covered with something. You'll use it at some point during the day, but does it need to be there for the 10 seconds you needed to use it to be on the flight 24/7? No.
I'm with you with that, sister. Yeah, and again, you just start one little corner and see how far you get, and that it shouldn't feel like a burden. It should feel like a process and a happy one. Sometimes I'll just will have like mindless television on in the background, something that I don't have to pay too much attention to, or it's something that has commercials, and every time there's a commercial, I would do a little something. You know what I mean? Like find ways to break it up. And just as long, however long it takes, no deadline, no pressure. Look, we have, as far as I'm concerned, we have 6 months to get our shit together before, you know, so we can start to feel good whether it's changing your bed linens, it's cleaning your room, whatever it is, you start someplace so that we are eradicating the old patterns that are reminding us that we don't need them anymore. And it was very interesting because I am never, very rarely, unless it's an emergency, in communication with my kid's father. Mm-hmm. It's just too toxic, too painful. We exist on two different planetary realms, as it should be. And it was very, very interesting how something transpired where he went ahead and did something against my without my knowledge, having to do with aspects with the apartment. And I get an email from the management office asking a question, and I'm like, oh, he pulled this again. This is the second time he's done something he should not have done. And the first time I addressed it, and I'm all about being honest, especially when it comes to things like housing, anything legal, whatever, I don't play. All about being honest. And, of course, when it, the first time this thing that he should not have done, he basically signed a notarized statement claiming that he still lived here because it gives him an advantage with access to the parking garage. But there are other things that he could have done, like put the and I suggested, because, of course, why am I still, like, figuring out stuff for, like, you to do? Like, I'm not married to you anymore. And I was Google. You didn't go to the computer. You talked to me. Google. Like those days are done. And I'm like, put the car in our son's name. He'll get his license, transfer the all these things. Of course, nothing happened. So the first time I found out by accident, said I wasn't happy about that. The second time just happened where it got flagged. I get an email, and I contacted him. I was patient. I was kind, and what really helps was that, you know, I'm talking to, like, a new guy that I really like right now, so I'm like, yay. So I'm like, I'm good. I'm good. I was kind and courteous, even though this lack of judgment and total disregard of, you know, me. And I brought this email to his attention, and I said, let me know what you want to do about this, because I want to respond to them the day after Christmas. So I got a phone call the day after Christmas, and talk about going down memory lane. So he started asking me questions about a conversation we had in early 2019, which I barely remember, where I was in very dire straits about my lack of value that I had for myself, managing my kids, especially my younger son, who was really hurt. We were both really hurting at the time. And this is when I used to say, I'm going to leave and I'm going to move to Colombia. This is when I was in that phase. Now, time has passed. I'm getting my shit together. It's COVID. And he's referencing some crazy conversation because I might have said at the time, well, if you buy me out of my shares, or I don't even, but it's off the table. You know, like, you don't leave the milk in the refrigerator for 2 years. You throw it away. It's off the table. And I said, between COVID and Black Lives Matter, I'm not going to really remember much of anything. All I'm focusing on is holding it together and taking care of these kids. Well, I'm doing the same thing too. And I said, you don't need to be defensive. No one is saying that you're not. But I went back to that. I was so, like, now I know, you, like, the PTSD is real. Like, hello. The fact that he thought he could talk to me in that way, and I said, I am not going to tell a lie. He's like, well, just tell the management office that I'm gradually leaving. I'm like, I'm not lying. I'm not lying. I'm going to tell the truth. And then he kept on being very antagonistic. So I hung up. Phone rings immediately. I don't pick it up. Then I get a text. Can we meet for coffee? Bitch! Can we meet for coffee so I can explain why I asked you about that conversation in 2019?
Oh, my gosh.
I said, absolutely not. I can't deal with the blaming, the defensiveness, and the aggression. Then I apologize. You do what you have to do. Okay. Now, he is the I was going to say queen. He is the king of the blanket apology, the hollow apology, because it's just, it's not a genuine, it's not an authentic apology, and you'll see why in a second. So I email the management office, and I say that I wasn't aware of a different affidavit being submitted. The one that I signed and notarized with my children is the correct one. I said we were divorced 2 years ago. If you need to contact him, here's this new email. A safe and happy new year. So then I just told the truth, like I said it would. I get a text message that says, oh, you couldn't run it by me? You just had to send it without running it by me, huh? I'm like, boy, we are really going down freaking memory lane. And I wish I wasn't so damn sensitive, but then I wouldn't be able to talk to dead people. So, hello, it's a trade-off. Okay, I get it. I get it. And I replied and I said, I told you I was going to tell the truth, and that's what I did. You need to stop with the aggression. And then I get, you're very deluded about that. I wish you a good life. So I just deleted the whole, conversation. And I was so glad that I had a gay old time, post-Christmas gay old time with my friends, because that's really what I needed. I needed to have fun and I needed to laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I realized this came in to such a degree, and it has nothing to do with the status of my apartment or how broken I am or how damaged I'm being categorized as, or how cold, and, you know, because he was saying things, well, there's no talking to you, and all of this. Meanwhile, you did something illegal twice in a row, and I'm not saying anything about that to you, right? If you're signing a document, a notarized document, and it's not true, that's illegal, isn't it? I mean, I'm the lawyer. I'm the lawyer, but a bitch got common sense. Yeah, and I realized, you know, once I, boy, it really brought me back to when things were so, so terribly painful a couple of years ago. And I said, wow, okay, this is so that this, there's no going back. This is done. This is done. And he's furious at me because I really have moved on. And that's okay. But there's certain people you just can't communicate with.
Right.
It's that simple. Yeah. So I think, oh, you know, like ingrained patterns, trauma, what I think things are making appearances to really take their exit. Because I'm not scared about my apartment. I'm not scared of anything. It's like the truth is the truth is the truth.
Yeah.
That's it. We'll figure it out. But yeah, that, I'm not going to say I was disappointed and how affected I was. It just shows me how far I've come. So that's the contrast.
Yeah.
Yeah. How far I've come, and I would do it all over again for the freedom that I feel now. And the joy. I'm having the time of my life. You know, and the joy even though it's corona and it's tough being a single mom and everything else, doesn't matter. Just the joy that I've been able to experience post-divorce. So that's worth going through this for. So very interesting how I don't feel blindsided, although I did initially, but I feel guided. That's the difference. So you with the sleep or this, that, the other, it's not anything but being guided to gracefully shift into this whole new experience, this collective experience of everything is different now. We're not the same. We're not the same. That's what this whole experience has given us. We're not the same. We can decide how we want to move forward, how we want to define ourselves moving forward. And that's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think part of that is like why you and I are you know, thinking about, well, okay, putting things in order. You want to feel that there is a space, a supportive space to support the new reconfiguration of who you are, this new chapter that we're all stepping into.
Mm.
And we have time. But now we know, okay, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel because we're beginning to see it. And to have that self-reliance and to know we have the best guidance of the best guidance system of knowing everything's based on how we feel.
Mm.
That's it. That's how we communicate with ourselves. Okay, how are we feeling in this moment? I feel pretty good. Great. That's good enough for right now. Feeling kind of sad, feeling kind of triggered, feeling kind of shattered. Okay, well, what can we do for self-care? And I actually, after that first phone call that was very unpleasant, I took a bath, which I rarely do, but I've been taking a couple baths during COVID because I never would have time. And somebody had given me last year a CBD bath bomb. Girl, now there's no drugs in it, it's CBD. I couldn't believe how relaxed my body was when I got out of the tub.
Wow.
So self-care. So like, okay, of yourself. You know, if you need to talk to people, talk to people. If you can't talk to anybody, don't talk to anybody. That's it. Take your time. And the contrast just shows you how far you've come. Mm. Or how profound or how great the manifestation can be once you do the work to turn that contrast inside out and to face it. And that's the whole thing. That's the only, you know, I'm the machete method. You know, clear it, clear it, clear it, clear it, clear it, clear it, face it, clear it, face it, clear it, face that. That's the only thing that I know how to do. Even if I'm being rattled and shook to my core and feeling unimaginable pain, I just don't, to me, that's the most streamlined process. I can't avoid it because it's going to bite me in the ass later. Mm-hmm. So let's just face it head on as best we can. Without blame or victimization. Well, I don't blame him for anything. I thank him for like, well, thank you for showing me how far I've gone. Bye. Gotta go. Yeah. So I'd be curious to hear what if other people are going through similar things where unexpected triggers or encounters, conversations. Be very curious. Yeah. Yeah. So I think with you having the cellular memory of at this time of year from all the travel, to be exhausted and to be a little under the weather, or very under the weather. So you're kind of reliving that a little bit. You're a little under the weather. But now you know what that is. And then you're going back to the pattern of sleep, because that's reminding you like that you've come so far from that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the first year where there isn't anything I've had to do. There isn't any place I've had to go.
Exactly. That's the beauty of it, right?
Yeah.
We're not used to that. We always have to be someplace. I mean, crazy. When I think about, all the running that I would do. It would be very extreme if I was just on my own, so I'm very grateful for the two heathens I live with, because they ground me.
Mm-hmm.
But I was, like, taking care of them and running around like a freaking maniac. So everything's just, you know, zooming for work things or what have you, phone calls, emails, do whatever you can to maintain a career viability with your business. We do what we can and muddle through and manage the rest, but everything's been compressed. That's what it feels like. So
yeah,
we're adjusting to that compression, which is not pressure. It's just holding everything together in a very elegant, well-designed package. So we want our environment to reflect that. You know? Like, you know, being on a cruise ship, the design is so innovative.
Right.
Right? It's the same thing. Everything has a function. Everything has a place. There's a thoughtfulness. There's a mindfulness to everything in its place, and
right,
everything serving a function, and not everything has to be in plain sight. So I wish both of us luck on our quest for at least breaking the ice a little bit in at least for our bedrooms, because that's the goal, you know, to feel some progress in creating more order and to make that a fun process. So what's great is that we're going to have our New Year's extravaganza. No, we're not. I'm just saying that every holiday. On this coming Thursday, but we'll check in with each other to see how today and tomorrow goes with that intention.
Yeah.
And there's no judgment. Let's just see where we go. But I think, you know, like I said at the top of the show, it is helpful. Even if you're communicating with one like-minded person, we are investing in each other's intentions, in each other's dreams, just by having this conversation on today's show. And maybe we've inspired some listeners too.
Maybe.
Right?
Maybe.
So that's,
yeah,
that's just the compounded ripple effect, which is great, which is why we do the show. So if you guys want to get a hold of us, please send an email to loablend@gmail.com. And we're scheduled to be back on the air this coming Thursday, New Year's Eve, at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Take care of yourselves and each other. Stay safe. Let the light do the work. And to brighter days ahead. Love you.
Love you all.